Hey there, data and AI enthusiast. This is Sam, and you're tuning into another episode of Data Science with Sam. Today, we are diving deep into a topic that's reshaping workplace wellness and the intersection of AI and employee health benefits. It's fascinating how AI has evolved from being just a buzzword to becoming an integral part of our workplace wellness program and so many other aspects of healthcare industry. However, with great power comes great responsibility, and that's exactly what we'll be unpacking today. I joined by an esteemed guest, Jocelyn Jiang. She's an actuary, and she's also a data and digital science expert. Jocelyn, welcome to the episode. I'm really happy to have you here.
Thank you. Hi, Sam. Thank you for inviting me.
So Jocelyn, before we dive into, would you like to introduce yourself to my listeners?
Sure. My name is Jocelyn Jiang, and I'm currently as the Vice President of the Employer and Consulting Solutions under the Data and Decision Science service line at MultiPlan. So MultiPlan holds a mission to help employers and their brokers to not only identify the healthcare cost drivers, but predict the future health risk of their members, then prescribe the meaningful actions to tackle these ever-rising healthcare costs and improve the population health outcome after all. My background is in actuarial science, like Sam mentioned before. I started my career 14 years ago as an actuarial consultant working at one of the largest consulting firms. So with that, I had the honor to serve a lot of different type of employees across different industries and sizes. So it's interesting with the how fast the technology has evolved these days with the amazing AI technology. If you say actuary is a fortune teller kind of job, then now with these technologies, people expect you to predict even more things out of the data we collect. As far as a data analytics company. So they want to know more faster and earlier as early as they can.
Thanks, Jocelyn. Thanks for giving a brief intro and also your sharing your professional experience being an actuary and how you kind of evolved into like a different roles during your other professional careers. Before we dive into the Q&A section, I would like to share a little bit of disclaimer for our listeners. The opinions expressed by guest and host on this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any organizations. With that said, I'm going to pivot to the Q&A section. So our first topic is personalization versus privacy. As we know that AI-driven tools are now capable of hyper-personalizing employee wellness plans by analyzing health data, but this also raises important question about how we can make sure that we are not doing a proper misuse of the data, or we are not putting a more surveillance on employees. So how employers can strike the delicate balance between tailoring benefits to individual needs while respecting employees' privacy? So I would like to hear your thoughts on that, Jocelyn, if you can share the guardrails we should place and how employers can maintain that balance.
Yes, I think, first thing first, with the HIPAA regulation, there is definitely some hard lines that employer wouldn't pass in terms of like the information that they gain on their employees, right? And then I think knowing certain like employees' health condition is definitely one of those hard lines that employer wouldn't pass. So while we're serving the employers, what happens is we de-identify the personal PHI information. And then when we serve the insights over to the employer side, all they see is the de-identified information. They may know, yes, they have a employee that had certain chronic condition, but they don't know who that employee is. So now that's kind of the limit that from an employer perspective that their information, the furthest they can go. However, they can engage with different point solution vendors, care navigation vendors, these outside firms that can have the hold of these PHI information along with knowing who had what condition so that they can purposely kind of communicate or prioritize their communications around the people that have these high-risk conditions, help them educate or help them navigate through the complicated healthcare ecosystem, help them find the right provider or guide them to the right lifestyles. So these are the things that from a third-party vendor that they can do, while employer, their job is to identify a good partner on that path, right? A good firm that really understands their population, their member mix, so they have the right way to engage their members and meet where members are. For example, like a transportation type of employer, then their employees are most of the time on the road. So the way to engage those type of members are totally different than a white collar type of company. So understanding the type of employer and how their employee mix, what their job occupations, it all play into a key part in terms of how to engage with your members effectively and get your message across or help them utilize the healthcare ecosystem the most effective way.
Now, that's very informative, because knowing that, first of all, from a PHI and PI perspective, data anonymization is kind of something that employers will definitely try to put in place before they start any analysis or any kind of like a surveillance of their health data. And like you mentioned, that there's like a distinction between, you know, like these policies and regulation based on their employer, you know, employer's roles, their designation in the organization, which I feel like that's also bringing, I feel like, a lot of transparency in the process. So thank you for sharing your perspective on that. So moving on to the next section, it's more mainly related to like the predictive analytics in healthcare, which I'm very excited to, you know more about your perspectives. And given that you are an actuary, and you just mentioned that, you know, being an actuary, sometimes people think that, okay, you are the fortune teller in the risk assessment pool, right? So keeping that in mind, you know, I know that, you know, we started using a lot of insurance companies and financial services started using AI to kind of predict health risk or any other risk like a mortality or lapse across different like employee populations, right? So this is a very powerful stuff, but it also raises ethical concerns, such as like, how do we kind of determine that or ensure that the model or the AI model that we are using not inadvertently creating stigma around employees who might be flagged as high risk, right? Because if an employee has like some sort of a chronic disease or something, that employee shouldn't get that feeling that they will be like discriminated, you know, in this particular prediction process. So how do we, you know, how does an employer or an actuary or even a statistician would determine that their algorithm or their predictive analytics will remain unbiased in this process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think at this point, the overarching goal from employer perspective is definitely trying to help their employees who are in need to get better, to better manage their conditions or find the right provider or the high quality provider and then cost effective provider to get their condition put in control. So from that perspective, I've never worked with an employer where their goal is to think how to find the person and then, you know, like eliminate that person from their health plan. So that's definitely, something, not in anybody's agenda per se. So with that being said, now with machine learning, capabilities, now that we have a rich data set of these individuals from their healthcare, insurance companies, where we can analyze, we have enough signals to accurately predict someone who, for example, is at high risk of getting a musculoskeletal surgery, or someone is having a high risk of chronic kidney disease or diabetes, or even high risk pregnancy, that we have a way to detect the first trimester of a pregnancy. So it's definitely very powerful. And then the power comes with responsibility. And then it leads to how we can utilize this prediction, like in a responsible way. So now that we have a lot of different dedicated point solutions vendors that targeting these specific conditions. So the problem lays to how we can pass these very useful information, knowing like who is facing those relevant risks, to the right type of partner for them to send the right message over, like educating people, hand-holding people to fight their conditions or to navigate the ecosystem. That becomes the main goal with how we use the information. So that is the current way how we leverage the information we got.
Okay. But that kind of like brings me to my next question is like, you know, when you're talking about predictive analytics, obviously that's kind of driven by some sort of an AI models and stuff. And as we know that no model is perfect, in my own words, and I do believe model always have inherent biases, and especially when it comes to dealing with that, you know, I would say like the health data or any like an employee or any human data, right? Because we have people from different races and communities, and we want to always want to make sure the model doesn't show any sort of inherent biases towards particular race. Right. So being an actuary and decision scientist, what, in your opinion, what do you think that, you know, what kind of safeguards should we be implementing to ensure like the model remain unbiased, and also it ensure the, you know, equitable distribution of benefits when we kind of like, you know, come up with the outcome of from that model? So it's like, you know, in a nutshell, I mean, in a common words, I was trying to say that model won't discriminate when it comes to providing employee benefits or determining employee benefits based on certain people's, like, you know, either race or community or stuff. It will be kind of like uniform, and it should be something based on their designations, their contribution to the company and organizations and all kind of stuff. So any like a certain factors or points that data points that an actuary or a decision scientist should consider in that case?
Definitely. I think that's a very great point. And with any AI model that we're building, like, we definitely have to set guardrails, like that particular one you were talking about. How can we avoid discrimination around the benefits setting? So there is rules and regulations currently, you know, in the space about you cannot design a benefits offering or favoring the high power, you know, or high income people over the lower income people. So while we were building models to automate certain, let's say, premium setting, plan design, optimization, we are putting those guardrails into place to prevent discriminatory benefit offerings. So these are definitely the fundamental rules that we need to build into the model to prevent AI algorithms to go crazy and then desire something that's completely against our fundamental objectives. And then even in the real world, right, how we set insurance premium these days, definitely based on plan design richness and all that, following an actuarial rule. But also sometimes employer will put in like salary bands to help the affordability of the plan for lower income members.
Yep.
So there are already movements towards making sure the vulnerable people are being taken care of and not being looked over by the nature of designs and the modelings.
Yeah. No, I think that's kind of like interesting to see that the employers, especially the insurance companies, are considering that, you know, obviously the model might show some inherent biases, but it's kind of like the data that we can control. We can definitely ensure that the model outcome will remain distributed in and the employees get those benefits. Not just because they are being discriminated for their, background or stuff, but they are also getting the benefit based on their, the employee judgment and other factors.
In fact, a multi-plan, we designed this, what we call it plan design optimizer. Well, traditionally, if you want to model a plan design and find out how much it costs, actually has to take days to model those different scenarios, and it's probably not gonna test out all the perfect scenarios out there. Well, now with the AI technology, they can literally test out millions of different scenarios or combinations and find the optimized the mix. So when we do that, how we design this model is, employer, you set your budget boundary. You tell the model how much maximum you want to spend on your healthcare benefit cost. And then the rest leave to the model to decide what type of combination of the plan design and then the employee contributions that we can maximize the benefits on the employee side, meaning we're going to give employee the best plan design, the richest plan design possible and lowest contribution possible while still meeting your employer budget constraint that you set at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to how you design your model, how you set your fundamental rules to make sure we're not hurting, the vulnerable group of people while we're trying to benefit or giving the best to these members while still meeting the company's budgetary
goals. That's really interesting and very informative. How the companies are determining that they are going to make sure the model will not show certain inherent bias, and it also ensure that equitable distribution of benefits, so that each and every employee will get benefited based on their premium or based on what coverage they are looking for, and that's fascinating. And it's also not jeopardizing companies' reserve value or anything, because at the end of the day, model is kind of coming up with an optimized outcome that's going to serve well for both the parties. So, thank you for giving a very holistic overview of how the process work, especially at the back end, and how model are being plugged into a very equitable process where both the parties can get benefited from. So that's kind of brings me to my next question. Since you just touched upon a little bit how employers determining the healthcare benefit for employees, and we also wanted to make sure that the employers are not losing money on their end. So that brings me to that cost efficiency or a return on investment related topic. As we know, the cost efficiency is often a driving factor in AI adoption. And you just mentioned that AI models you know, I feel like that's enabling the risk assessment technician or statistician or even actuary to perform that task more quicker way, or they'll be able to run more scenarios than they used to do with manual intervention before. So definitely that's going to probably impact the cost efficiency or ROI metrics. So now my question to you is that, but sometime, you know, how can the organization effectively communicate these kind of benefits of AI implementation while maintaining trust with their employees? Because I think that employers don't want to give like a misdirection or misleading information to employees that, you know, we are using AI model to determine how much benefit you're going to get or what will be your premium amount. So how, again, going back to the striking that balance. So what do you think, you know, I mean, if your company started using similar sort of like a practices, how you're communicating that to employees?
I think at the current state, we are not making AI a full replacement of the process, whether it's premium setting or plan design setting. Rather, it is a supplement. Like, we're using it as a reference point, as a way to increase some efficiency, help us find the optimized combination. But, and then there is still that human serving as that gatekeeper at the very end, like to review the output from the AI and making sure those output make sense and then fit what the company culture and philosophy is. So at the current moment, we're not seeing that AI gonna completely take over. Rather, it's just they're gonna increase the productivity and the efficiency, like you said, but then it's still up to human to make those final decisions based on their company's specific agenda and philosophy.
No, that's definitely gonna resonate my thoughts here, because at the end, AI is here to augment human intelligence. I probably said that thousands of times in the last few months, and I definitely agree with you. And at the end, we need that human oversight, and that's why we have decision scientists or actually like you, so who can properly or, you know, provide like educated judgment on the AI model outcome to determine whether that outcome is unbiased or this is something like skewed towards a certain result that we are not expecting from that perspective. So it's really, I mean, fascinating to see that, you know, how we are utilizing AI as a, like a supplementary, like a support or something like that, but we are also not losing sight on that human oversight or that human analysis or judgment that would be required when it comes to making a decision on employees' benefit, which is very fundamental, but it's very kind of like sensitive in the sense that that's going to determine someone's health insurance coverage and stuff, right? So that's really interesting to know. And so that kind of like brings me to the last question of this podcast. I mean, looking toward for the future, you know, like, you know, like we have seen that, you know, this AI agents coming up really hot, you know, we've seen so many things going on in the generative AI world. I was just thinking that, you know, we talked about healthcare, we talked about the implementation of AI in terms of determining employee benefits and stuff. So what about preventive care? And if I just go a little towards that direction in the healthcare area. Now, we know that AI can now analyze data from wearable devices to encourage healthcare behaviors among employees. Like, you know, you can definitely track their data from different, like, Fitbit or something like that to understand what kind of, like, a healthcare routine they're following and stuff. I understand this is kind of like a really good in the sense of like you are continuously monitoring someone's health and benefits, which is beneficial. Well, but sometimes it's also creating a nanny state culture in the workplace. Like, you know, like some employees will be hesitant to kind of like share this data. I mean, I know that there are some workplaces people usually give away like a points or some like a benefits when somebody is like following certain routine for a so-and-so date and employers can collect their health routine data and stuff. So what do you think, you know, like, you know, I mean, based on, you know, this, and like the dilemma of someone's like, you know, sharing data with their employers, Do you think it's kind of creating some sort of an implication in terms of, like, you know, just impacting the workplace culture? Or do you think, you know, the employees are welcoming to, like, you know, sharing their healthcare data, which eventually benefit those AI models or the risk assessment people to make a better judgment on their employee benefits? So I think this question is more of like a philosophical perspective than like, you know, more of like a statistical or any process-based question, but I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, technologies is definitely already there, right? Like, everything is almost seems to possible these days.
Human value, right?
Right, exactly. So, but, you know, in terms of this relationship between employer and the employees, I think that the key part, it lays around the underlying motivation. Like, employer, what do you want to use my data for? Like, are you trying to help me, support, giving me guidance along my path of getting healthier, or you're just being an intrusive oversight, trying to know how sick I am, right? So this underlying motivation is definitely play a key part in how you can make this program successful. To avoid this becomes kind of a nanny state workplace culture, the ideal approach, it needs to be like, it's an employee initiated opt-in. Like, the employee has to opt into this type of program. You have to explain, you have to give the transparency around what are you using these insights for? And then how, like, prove to me, how are you leveraging these information and then support my healthcare journey and make my like lifestyle changing easier, right? And then maybe encourage me along the way when I'm hitting a bottleneck of platform, like you're still helping me and get going. So employers should position these programs definitely as a benefit rather than some sort of a mandate, so that it's rooted from a kind of a positive reinforcement, so rather than the penalties or surveillance type. So back to kind of my initial point, it really comes to how you design this program, how you communicate this, and then provide, you know, as much transparency that you can with your employees, and make employee be the one that initiate this this journey with you, rather than some mandate type of thing.
Yeah, no, can't I agree more with you on this, because I feel like the transparency is the key to success here, because transparency will gain that trust between employer and employees, and especially when it comes to, like, you know, sharing your personal data or PHI or PII, it's very important to make sure that, you know, the employees understand that how employer using the data, and that is definitely something would be the best interest of the employees from healthcare benefit standpoint. So that kind of, like, brings us to the end of our discussion. Thank Jocelyn for your time. I mean, it seems like we kind of covered a lot of grounds, from starting from, like, predictive analytics to how, you know, we are bringing transparency between, like, these healthcare benefit practices that so many employers are using for their employees, and how AI is being, you know, playing a pivotal role in that process. So thank you for your time and, you know, sharing your perspective with my listeners. Do you have any final thought or anything that you would like to share with my listeners who would like to be kind of like a first in their career in actuarial science world?
Yeah, no, I thank you first for giving me the opportunity to be on your podcast and sharing my thoughts and my past experience with your audience here. I think some very last minute thought would be, you know, don't be afraid of utilizing AI, making it as your assistant, make it more like helping you along to sort through your train of thoughts to make your daily life more efficient. But then you still drive the narrative. You need to be the one that still drive your thought process and then making the final decision. AI is not gonna make the final decision. You need to be still be in the driver's seat for that. But leverage AI as much as you can to make your life easier, because you as a human not gonna run 1,000 scenarios within an hour, but the technology these days can. So leverage the technology, let it be your friend, and then you be in the driver's seat and make that final decision and make that final call.
Yep. I mean, I definitely would say that, you know, AI-driven human oversight would be the future. And at the end, I guess we will see more collaboration between human intelligence and AI in future. And that's going to help us grow further and progress further. And we can do more than we never experienced before or never anticipated before. So to my listeners, if you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe to my podcast channel, Data Science with Sam, and follow me on Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, and Spotify platform. Thanks, Jocelyn, again for your time. And let's to my AI and data enthusiast listeners, keep exploring the data frontier, because there's so many things happening in the AI world. Please make sure that you're being judicious when it comes to handling data and also utilizing AI to your best interest. This is Sam signing off. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you.